Albuquerque, University of New Mexico. Let's put this in perspective, Jamie said to Dex and the Navajo president. It doesn't have to mean the end of everything. The hell it doesn't, Dex muttered.
Most of our funding comes from the foundation, said the Navajo president. The government's contribution is important, I know, but we get most of our money from private donors, don't we?
Dex answered, Private contributions have been tailing off. It's harder and harder to get major donations. The big money people have been backing away from us, and now with the goddamn feds pulling out of the program, it'll be tougher than ever to get them to come through. The president said,
I know we're not supposed to make a profit out of Mars, but my council people have been making noises.
Noises? Jamie asked.
You know, questions. They're wondering why we can't get something out of the program.
Dex started to say, You're running the world's biggest conservation effort, and...
The biggest in two worlds, the president corrected with a sly smile.
Three, Dex immediately countered. Don't leave out the moon. Jamie listened to them arguing mildly back and forth, remembering how Dex had originally come to Mars on the second expedition, bubbling with plans to make a tourist center of the Red Planet. Ostensibly a geologist, C. Dexter Trumbull had insisted that if private donors such as his father were expected to finance the exploration of Mars, they had to be allowed to make a profit out of it. He had his father's vision of using Mars to make money. But once he saw the ancient cliff dwellings, once he realized that this seemingly barren planet had sustained intelligent life, Dex defied his father and helped Jamie turn legal stewardship of Mars to the Navajo Nation. A friendship had grown between the two men, a friendship that held strong even after Dex returned to Earth to face his furious father. It was a supreme irony, granting control of the Red Planet to the red-skinned Navajo, who regarded the guardianship of Mars as a sacred trust and would allow only scientific exploration. The news media trumpeted the story, while financial backers such as Darrell C. Trumbull howled about betrayal and turned to their lawyers. The International Astronautical Authority upheld the Navajo claim, and so did the World Court, as long as at least one member of the Navajo Nation actually lived on Mars. International law prohibited any nation or corporate entity from claiming ownership of a planet, or even a pebble-sized asteroid, but anyone could claim exclusive use of a body in space if they were actually working on that body. So the Navajo Nation controlled Mars as long as one Navajo lived and worked on the planet. The scheme had succeeded for nearly 20 years. Mars was being explored by international teams of scientists. Tourism was limited to virtual reality simulations, where paying customers could experience a visit to Mars without leaving their living rooms on Earth, without disturbing the frigid desert sands of the Red Planet. With a conscious effort, Jamie returned his attention to the meeting and the problems of the day.
The VR tours are bringing in a steady income, the Navajo president was saying, especially when we open up a new territory to walk through.
So what's the problem? Jamie asked.
The council's hoping for more income, she replied, her normally stolid face frowning slightly. Maybe a bigger percentage of the gross.
Christ, you're already getting everything above our operating costs, Dex Trumbull snapped.
Your operating costs include a pretty fat fee, said the president.
My foundation people can't work for free.
The president sighed. It's just like the casinos. You're making more money out of the VR tours than we are.
But you're not doing anything, Dex insisted. You don't have any costs at all. It's all pure profit for you.
Jamie jumped in before the president could reply.
Dex, listen. No matter how much money the VR tours bring in, the Diné will always need more. And my foundation's supposed to be an endless source of bucks?
We have a lot of legal fees coming up, the president pointed out. Washington is making claims on reservation land. Squatters are moving in on us.
Dex's youthful face broke into a wicked grin. We could offer the refugees land on Mars, like the old Homestead Act. Let them settle.
No,
Jamie shouted. Laughing, Dex replied, I was wondering how long it'd take you to yell.
You're not serious, the Navajo president said.
Not really, Dex admitted. Then his expression turned crafty. Although I bet we could build big domes, pump air into them, bake the oxides out of the soil, and start growing crops. Scowling, Jamie said, "Don't even joke about that, Dex." But Dex went on. With the new fusion torch ships, the transportation costs wouldn't be so bad, I bet. Dex, you know, it's just crazy enough for some politicians in Washington to go for it. Send the refugees to Mars. $1 trillion boondoggle. It's not funny, Jamie insisted. Yeah, Dex admitted. I guess not. Wouldn't work anyway. Even with the fusion rockets, it's too damned expensive to ship millions of people off-planet. So can we get a better break on the revenue income? The president asked, returning to her point. I don't see how, Dex replied immediately. Besides, we've got a bigger problem now. Bigger? Asked Jamie. With Washington backing out of the program, the Foundation's going to have to carry the funding load pretty much alone. But there's the Europeans, the Chinese, and the Russians, I know. They'll all back away. You wait and see. Besides, what they're putting into the pot now isn't enough to take up the slack. So it's up to the Foundation, Jamie said. Yeah, but the donations are getting harder to come by. The big money's going into reconstruction, restoring the electric power grid, new housing for the refugees. Everybody and his brother has their hands out. It's endless. And Mars is a luxury, the Navajo president murmured. Worse than that, said Dex. The religious nuts want to close us down. They don't want us finding anything else about the Martians. They don't even want to think that there was another intelligent race on Mars.
The new morality?
And the holy disciples in Europe and all the rest of them. They don't like us finding anything that conflicts with their 12th century view of the world. They want to forget about Mars. They want everybody else to forget about Mars as well. Jamie sank back in his desk chair. So they're putting pressure on you. Not just me. On our donors, our backers. Spend your money here on Earth, they say. Help your fellow human beings instead of poking around on Mars.
That's a strong argument, said the Navajo president.
Searching for a ray of hope, Jamie said, but the universities want to continue the exploration. The universities are under pressure too, said Dex with a shake of his head. And now that the White House has skunked us, it's going to be tougher than ever to raise new funds. Interview. So how can you possibly keep your team on Mars now that the government has canceled its funding for the program? Jamie stared at the interviewer. He had spent most of the day answering questions from reporters. He had appeared on 4 different network news shows, skipping lunch to sit before their cameras and answer the same questions over and over again. Normally, Jamie enjoyed interviews. He got a kick out of the cut and thrust, where the interviewer was trying to dig out something sensational, and he was doing his best to get across the points he wanted to make, despite the interviewer's loaded questions. But now, after this long day of interrogation, Jamie felt tired and irritable. They're ready to bury us, he realized. Half of them don't even know that most of our funding comes from private sources and has been for nearly 20 years. Washington pulls out and they think we're dead. This interview in the studio of a local Albuquerque affiliate of a major network was being aired live across the nation. Jamie had postponed his dinner to appear in the studio. He had phoned Vijay at home twice to tell her he'd be late, and twice gotten the answering machine's bland response. Has she heard the news, he wondered. His interviewer of the moment was in Los Angeles, speaking with Jamie over a closed video circuit. Rhonda Samuels was a crafty middle-aged woman with a practiced smile and a cobra's eyes. Her ash-blonde hair was so carefully coiffed that Jamie thought it might have been a helmet. Her beige suit fit her trim figure without the slightest wrinkle. Jamie felt distinctly grungy in the shirt and jeans he'd been in since early morning. He was glad he'd worn the Onyx Bolo. How can we keep exploring Mars without money from Washington? Jamie fingered the bear fetish in his pocket as he framed his answer. He remembered how his grandfather Al would sit in silence for long moments while he was dickering with one of the artisans who produced the jewelry and hand-painted pottery that Al sold in his shop on the plaza in Santa Fe. Al was never in a hurry when he spoke to his fellow Native Americans. Take some time.